Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Well, hello, friends.
Brian Brushwood.
Oh, don't mind me. I'm just enjoying a fully carbonated, chilled beverage the way a civilized human would.
That was our pre-show conversation, folks, and you missed nothing. I'm going to jump right in. You know why? Because I need two crime-solving detectives.
Well, I mean, what's the nature of this crime? I want you to imagine I'm Encyclopedia Brian, and we call him the thesaurus. We can solve any kind of crime.
Not thesaurus?
No.
Can you solve crimes in the desert?
Also, they call him the punster. You mean the dessert? That's what he's about to say. Go ahead and say it.
Do you mean grand expanse of sand? The absence of water?
How about the Arctic?
Ooh. That is a desert.
Do you mean the tundra? The great whiteout? Seward's Folly?
All right. The thesaurus, you're taking it too far, man.
What about the middle of a densely packed city? Can you solve a crime there?
Ah, the urban jungle.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll take
space.
The gig.
Could 20... solve a crime in space?
No case too small. 25 cents. We're on the case. We're ready.
Well, none of that will help you out.
The final frontier.
None of that will help you out because this crime takes place not at sea, but under the thesaurus.
Sea?
No. Fail. Thesaurus. Fail. I already said C. I needed another word for C.
Ocean?
All right, great. It's good. This is one of those thin dollar store thesauruses.
I haven't had the heart to tell anyone. He calls himself the thesaurus, but he only has a rhyming dictionary. I'm really sorry.
So we've got an undersea mystery. It starts, as all awesome stories do, in World War II, during a naval battle in the Java Sea. Some ships are firing on each other, Japanese ships, Dutch ships, and we get several of these Dutch ships sink. The HMS De Ruyter and the HMS Java sink below the sea along with the Courtenay and vanish, never to be seen again. Well, until 2002, where an expedition found them with sonar images. They found these ships there. They located them. They saw the distinct shape of the ships. Clearly, they're there. Right?
Were they still filled with hatred, even in death, that their twisted corpses resembled fists shaking at each other?
I don't know. Dutch are pretty mellow people.
Yeah, well, I mean, not so mellow that they weren't willing to fire on the HMS Get Bent.
These were the Dutch ships that sank, and were good guys.
Yeah, well, I know, but hold on. You said it was a Dutch one and a German one,
three
right?
Three Dutch ships sunk.
Three Dutch ships?
Yeah. Three Dutch ships.
Fine. Then they're all shaking their face up at the sky.
Bottom of the ocean is ships. Finally, we find them again. And when someone like, look, sonar, what's that? There's a guy in the bow. He's making this angry expression with his fist curled. You know, Andrew made fun of Brian for that. Brian's been vindicated. So and they're like, let's go back. We're going to go back a couple years later. Let's go back and take some more sonar image of this. Maybe we'll send some robots down there. And we pull up our boat. We go look. We got to call Spiro and Fudge. Or we got to call. Who are we talking to here?
Also Spiro and Fudge. Only we're now dime store detectives. We kind of got kicked off the force.
Admiral Spiro and Captain Fudge.
I got kicked off the force. Somebody resigned in protest to follow. But the only reason why I got kicked off was because I had an incompetent partner who would do nothing but make overt sexual advances that would totally bring us further and further away from solving the case.
Okay, yes. And also, I bought you that rhyming dictionary that I told you was a thesaurus. You always leave that part out. Always leave that out.
So here I am standing on the bow of my boat, hear the sound of a helicopter. I'm like, that's not a landing pad. That's like a conning tower circling. I see.
I lean out the window. I was like, we do this all the time, sir. Don't worry about it. We try to land on the water, and I'm like, it's flat. See, it's a perfectly flat surface. Don't worry about it.
On that helicopter, what are they doing?
We turn off.
Little known fact about water: if you spin the blades fast enough, you can land on it.
We've got a bet. I'm going to prove Fudge I'm right this time. And it turns out I'm not right. The helicopter sinks, but we paddle over and we get in your boat.
You get in the boat. I'm like, great. How's the pilot?
I was like, you know, it didn't get picked up for his full series, but don't worry about it.
He said, go ahead. And we're okay. Like, fine, cool.
So you're on board the boat. You guys are there. You're like, all right, what's the mystery? I'm like, well, it started back in World War II. You see, there was this, the ships, there was these, battle and these ships sank. And we've got a little bit of a problem here. Take a look at the sonar.
All right. Let me take a look at the sonar. And I lean my face forward. I look at it and I nod. And then I kind of flipped the sonar upside down because I could tell I was looking at it the wrong way. And I was like, take a look at this, the Fudge.
What are we looking at?
I think it's pretty clearly sonar. I lean over and apologize to Andrew. I'm like, I'm sorry. He's not the sharpest tool.
No, I mean, like, did you find anything?
I think you'll see it just as clearly as I did. I believe in you, Mr. the Fudge.
Well, so I mean, since we both have our own conclusions, let's just say our conclusions at the same time.
All right, each of us cover one eye, and we'll both look in the sonar with the other eye, and we're just going to say it on three. Ready? One, two, three. Trouble.
Mermaid.
As you can see the outline of where the ship was, but ain't no ship.
Just as I suspected.
That's why I said trouble.
That's why I said mermaid, or as they say at the seas, the old mermaid heist, of course. The famous time a ship sank and then disappeared.
Name one year of
two ships are gone.
Sank.
Two ships, the double fin.
The double fins of the mermaid. Now, but there were three that were sunk, though. So we still have some evidence to check out.
Yeah, we haven't gone over to check out the third one yet. So I'm just right now we're looking at the two there.
Okay. So you're saying like there's definitely the outline where that sank, and then the boat just not there, right?
Yeah.
All right, real quick. I'm gonna need some scuba gear. I'm gonna need. You know what? I don't have time. I grab some old.
Wait! I gotta interrupt here.
Yeah.
We didn't get a fashion report of how you guys are dressed when you show up for Nautical Mysteries.
I mean, I dressed up as an admiral. I can't speak for the Fudge. I'm a professional.
If by admiral you mean sailor shorts cut and refashioned to mid thigh booty short style. With a very, very festive navy blue ascot.
All right, you want to stop talking around it? Yes, I'm dressed as Buster Brown. I'm dressed as Buster Brown. I even have my stuffed animal dog.
And I have a full diving jumpsuit on at all times, including a mask and snorkel around my neck.
Excellent. I'm glad we brought in professionals. So you're going to go down, you're going to dive down, both of you diving down?
No, just me. And in fact, I lean over and I unpack my bag and I pull out two old-timey Turkish barbells and I say, these will get me there. And I hold my breath and jump down and let the weight of the barbells take me, I assume, all the way down to the bottom. which gives me just enough time to kind of look around and see, yes, indeed, that sonar was correct. And then I swim up to the top. Unfortunately, my stuffed dog did not make it.
Hmm. Now what?
Well, now I say, well, the fudge, one of us is committed. How about you?
So really, you just went in the water to prove that I was as committed to the case
chicken,
as you.
Chicken, chicken. You're wearing the chicken outfit, but you can't fly, can you? You got those duck feet on you?
Way to be a teammate. Yeah. You know, you're just a real peach. Yeah, you're just a real A-plus teammate.
Look, man, you're the one who joined my detective agency and calls himself the thesaurus, even though I bought you a rhyming dictionary.
I don't even wait for him to finish. I throw yet another Turkish barbell at him in the high chest, knocking him off the boat comically.
I take this opportunity to ride the Turkish barbell down to the bottom for a second look, swim up, and just as I'm about to pass out, I burst out of the surface and say, see? Double committed. Twice as committed as you are. I did it twice.
That, however, falls upon deaf ears as the fudge has gone inside the ship to actually do some detective work and ask some questions.
As I swim over to the ladder, I say, a little tea, please, would warm me up.
How about just some flat room temperature soda?
Oh, God. I literally just commit suicide right there. I grab all the Turkish barbells. I dive into the water and I never surface.
Meanwhile, I'm inside and I'm asking, is there anybody on the boat now that was involved in the battle itself?
No.
Is there? Oh, wait. So that happened long ago, like decades ago?
World War II, yeah. Last I checked, World War II was at least 10 years ago.
I don't know if we're doing a period piece.
Yeah, for all we know, this happened in 1955. Come on. Also, hold on. I think it's off. I come out from the water.
Oh, God.
And I say, what year is it? I ask anyone who's listening.
I check my Apple Watch. It's 2017, guys. 2017.
Like, okay, good. And then I grab my barbells and go back down.
All right. What do we have any evidence of previous search attempts?
No, you're just looking down. There ain't no ship.
So was there ever a time that these ships had been found and like added to nautical maps and whatnot?
Yeah, we had sonar. We had the sonar. There was a prior mission where we found sonar images of the ship. We saw the outlines. We saw the angry guy on the bow shaking his fist, saying Brian was right.
Yeah. Okay.
But other than that, yeah, we found the ships before. We're going back there. National Geographic crew. We're like, guys, this is gonna be awesome. We're so glad you invested all the money in this expedition to film these ships. And we know that you borrowed money from your grandmother's retirement fund in her medicine cabinet. It's going to be worth it. And then we showed up and there are no ships. And I'm like, I got this.
All right,
I got this.
So
I know two guys who can solve this problem.
Real quick, I walk over to the fudge and I'm like, hey, man, if it was known that these were sunken Dutch ships, you know what the Dutch are famous for?
Ruddering.
Gold. They got that gold in the shit. I bet somebody.
If they have so much gold, then why are they always trying to get out of paying full price for dinner?
Why do you think their boat sank? It was so heavy with all that gold. I bet somebody stole the whole ship. For all we know, the ships were made of gold. Somebody stole.
Because of the Japanese battle fleet. But, you know, Brian does World War II.
I'm just saying, it seems to me like this was a priceless treasure and somebody stole it.
Yeah, we need to go to battle. You know what we'll do? We'll load our ships with gold.
Wait a minute.
I mean, it's like they don't go anywhere without
it. So your point, Spiro, is that somebody got wind decades after that ship had sank that there was gold on it, and their response to that news was to not go down and harvest the gold, but rather to steal the entire ship from the ocean's floor.
Close. I'm not saying that they got wind that there was gold in the vessel. I'm saying they knew that that vessel was historical gold. It belongs in a museum, they said. But then they said, but not a public museum, a private collection. I bet I could sell it to someone. There's a lot of volcanic islands with a lot of evil villains that would pay for this.
Okay, so you think that there is a history thief on the loose who is looking to identify and preserve key moments in history and sell them to the highest bidder?
Yes.
I then throw yet another Turkish barbell at Spiro.
I fall down. And what's weird is from below the surface, you see bubbles coming up. But the moment the bubbles burst on the surface of the water, comically, they contain my words, "Told you," as I sink to the bottom.
All right, so I'm going to be the first one to say it. The easiest solution here is that your evidence was wrong. With the sonar, this boat was never here. You thought it was here. It wasn't. Your failure.
And I grab you by the back of the head, and I put your face in front of the sonar, and you see the outline of a ship down there.
What seems to be a ship, but how do we know it's not a very still school of carp in a ship's shape?
Well, and the answer, and then more bubbles burst, and I'm like, because you can see me dancing here, and sure enough, on the sonar, you see Spiro dancing.
A ship-shaped trough, a ship-shaped trough in the thesaurus, Brian is dancing.
Ship-shaped ship trough.
All right. I wait for Spiro to get back to the ship. So a fast forward 45 minutes.
He blows up a balloon and uses that to raise him up.
That's right. Exactly. And I get out and I was just like, guys, I have investigated a lot. And there's definitely a ship-shaped trough right there. Ain't no ship in it. Two ships missing.
So what
Two
do you think?
Two ship-shaped troughs.
I mean, where's that third ship, though? Can we find that third ship? Skipper, can you drive us around? And by the way, don't get confused if you see a helicopter at the bottom. That's not the ship.
I'm gonna pull up anchor. I'm gonna start driving there. And as we're going there, I'm like, hey, give me some theories, guys. Give me some theories.
I mean, I already told you I think that there's an evil version of Indiana Jones who's stealing everyone's chips from the bottom of the ocean.
Montana Mike
at it again.
Justin, excuse me, Mr.
That
Fudge.
That belongs in a private Fudge. Collection.
Yeah, exactly.
Captain Fudge, you just accused me of incompetency, so that's your theory.
No. I was just waiting to make this joke. Full time. Do we have photos of it at the bottom of the ocean?
We've got really good sonar images. Why are you doubting my credibility?
I'm doubting your credibility because that's the easiest solution.
You're blaming the victim.
I mean, like, if you want to self-describe yourself as the victim, that's fine, right? I don't think so.
I have two missing ships here, and I called in the authorities, and you're telling me, man, did you really have any ships? Are you sure? Did you maybe – was the sonar smudged?
I mean, but for real – like, anybody get some peanut butter fingers on there?
I mean, at this point, I sort of ease myself in between you and the Fudge. And I was just like, well, man, is there a problem here? Is there for you? Do you not want this solved? This guy, outside of the time he got fired, has a pretty good record.
Yeah, I want this solved. I just don't want the blame. It's being, thrown in my direction.
That's fine. Where's the third ship? Where is the third ship, sir?
Fine, and we only have like two more Turkish barbells, so please. So flip on the sonar. I'm like, let's flip on the sonar unless peanut butter fingers had their hands on it.
Also, right? I look around. I'm like, I seriously look to see if there's Sergeant Peanut Butter Fingers around, but there's not.
That's when Dale Peanut Butter Fingers Schultz steps up and says, "Nope, I've been working in the laundry all day."
With his ship-shaped fingertips.
we look down at our
shirts. I played Battleship, and I glued them to my fingers. So flip on the sonar. I'm like, all right, let's take a look here. You ready? You ready to have your minds blown?
Yeah, hold on.
So turn it on the sonar.
All right.
Wait, here. Do you want to, Mr. Fudge, Captain, do you want to smell it for peanut butter? Maybe it's some Nutella. Could it be Nutella? Would that satisfy you? Is that what you think it is?
Dude, I mean, Admiral Anxious over here.
Just almond butter? Some almond butter, maybe?
Let's just go ahead and find this third ship, huh?
All right, so we flip the third ship, and I'm slowly watching the sonar scan, which isn't the way sonar works, but I've added a very dramatic.
It works like those old-fashioned GIFs that you would download over a 2400 baud modem, kind of a line at a time, right?
Yeah, pretty much like that. So you see, and you see like nothing. You see like a faint outline of where a ship was, faint outline of where a ship was.
If the last thing we see is the hamburger dragging it away, I'm going to be real disappointed.
But all of a sudden you see half a ship.
Like half a ship, like the rest is buried? Or
no, half a ship, like the rest is gone.
Sidebar. hey, the fudge. I know we have a lot of fun. We goof around, you and me.
We do.
I think we got us a real mystery here. I mean,
I'm telling you that.
Okay. First of all, you promised not to listen. Get out of here. Promises. So, the fudge. I think somebody's dismantling this ship for parts. Maybe there's a corrosive agent that's chewing away at it. You know what? There was that one guy who won a Guinness World Record for eating an entire car. Maybe he's moved on to boats.
I mean, I agree with you. And if we're gonna go ahead and list corrosive agents, how about the super self-defensive captain with his sonar thing? Like, geez,
well, thank goodness he's not listening right now. But I mean, yeah, man, the guy's really
very small
tight.
Pilot house, guys. I'm like literally over your shoulders listening to you say this,
which is why it makes it all the more important that you keep your word, sir.
I know how you build a team, right? if we're gonna be accusing each other when we're just trying to do our due diligence.
All right, I take one of the two remaining kettlebells, and I hug it, and I dive down to get an up-close look at the edge at which the ship stops existing and seems to become nothingness. Is there anything I could tell? Does it look corroded or chewed or severed or
smashed? It looks like it might have been sort of ripped or ruptured.
But is there a the rest of the impression of where the ship originally sank, or
yes.
See, okay,
all right, I
send a bubble up to the fudge. I say it's more complicated than we thought, fudge.
All right, I send a note down in a delicate mason jar to my waterlogged partner.
Time out real quick. When I shouted my message up, did you add a bubble popping sound effect, Price? Yeah, you did. Okay, all right. I just want to make sure that's what I heard that correctly.
All right, I cracked the case. Gather the crew. I've cracked the case.
Okay, but before I gather the crew, I look around to see if there's any like Nazi gold in there, and there's not, and so I swim to the top.
Spiro tells me there's no Nazi gold in the ship, and I say, "Oh crap!" And I have to come up with a totally new conclusion. Ladies and gentlemen of the crew.
We're all gathered around. The entire boat is standing at attention. And I've blown that whistle that goes woo-wee-woo to grab everyone's attention. And I'm like, the fudge is now going to present his theory. Pay attention, people.
We've been around the world, ladies and gentlemen. We've solved cases big and small. Dangerous and safe. This is something the likes of which we've never seen. On opposite day, it's the same thing we always see. Where are the two missing ships? Who ate one half of another ship? Why, it's none other than the old menace of Spiro and the Fudge, a snake! Yes, a massive snake has eaten both of the ships and half of the other one. All you need to do is find the massive seafaring lizard that has a bulge distinctly like two ships and one half ship in that order from head to tail, and you will have your culprit. Spiro and the Fudge, out, and I start calling for yet another helicopter service and say, what do you mean? No, I don't know where he went after he dropped us off.
But it's okay, because I already have the Uber app open, and I have it set to San Francisco, and I selected helicopter, and then I just lied. Yeah, because the trick is, once they're in the air, they have to come get you no matter where you are.
That's it?
I mean, prove us wrong. Prove us wrong.
Yeah, show us the evidence. It's always snakes.
In fact, whatever. I don't even say prove us wrong. I just hand you our business card. It says Spiro and or the Fudge, subtitled Prove Us Wrong.
Mm. Well, gentlemen, apparently we have a theory here.
Yeah, I know. I just gave it to you. I mean, what, is there an echo in here?
Turns out there is a gang of salvagers who like to go down there and explode ships and take the metal and all the raw materials, disguising themselves as fishermen and then smuggle them off, because that area of the ocean is littered with hundreds of ships.
The raw materials
are worth quite a lot, even though they're war graves and they're supposed to be protected sites. And that gang is called the Snake Gang, by the way.
I swear, I have my pinky up in the air. I was like, don't you take this away from me.
This is what you get. This is what you get.
Dude.
Apparently, we don't know. We don't know. That's the theory, is that it's been salvagers will go down there with explosives. They blow up the ships. Then they take the metal away and they have stole two ships and are working their way through another one.
We had a great time. It was great hanging out with you. We have many other cases, as we often do. We have a standard form satisfaction, customer satisfaction survey. Whose answer did you like better, Spiro's or the Fudge? Just select one. Spiro's, of course, was that people were stealing the remains of the ship because they were valuable. The Fudge's was that a giant sea snake had eaten two and a half ships.
All right. Hold on. I'm taking the forms. Pulling out my pen.
Just literally check one box or the other.
I'm looking it over.
One says notes. Spiro, the other says the Fudge.
I'm making some notes and comparing it, and then I'm writing the notes. I'm adding in like asterisks and stuff. And then I take both these notes and then I wrap them around Turkish barbells and throw them at your faces.
But I remember you're down to only one Turkish barbell, so I live while Amazon Justin Prime.
But the Turkish barbells are made of, what is this? Is this recycled naval iron?
Next time on Spiro and the Fudge.
Got a speed round for you guys.
All right, let's do it.
Before we get to that, let's all remind you that patreon.com/weirdthings is where you can support this very, very show. Keep us live, loud, and independent here on Sunday afternoons. Easy like Sunday afternoon is how the song goes. Written because of the Weird Things podcast. Just head on over there right now, patreon.com/weirdthings.
Heck yeah. By the way, we did see it's the funnest game to go to graftreon.com/creator/weirdthings and watch our slow but steady trend upward. Every month when the tax man comes collecting, oftentimes people, like, their credit cards don't go through or they forget to update all that stuff. We had a really good month last week, but we are so close to getting back. I just want to average over that $500 a week. Grr, we got that.
Dude, totally. Thank you guys so much. Especially through the holidays, because that's a tough time.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, this could be the story that pulls us through. This could be the one that gets people excited. This is the one that could make all those fence sitters realize this is why I need to support the Weird Things broadcast.
What's that?
It's the story of a king who lost all his money and opened a Patreon, patreon.com/theking, and he got all his money back. The end.
I think it may be another Spiro and Fudge, and this may be too hard. This may be like too, I don't know how many clues I'm going to have to drop for this one, because I'm not going to say anymore, okay? It involves a very disturbing appearance or something, we'll call that a frightening event that takes place in an apartment house in South Africa.
Okay. Are we ruling out the G word?
I'm not going to rule out anything, but I'm going to say
it's a goblin.
Like,
it's a goblin. You know what? You submitted your application to Spiro and the Fudge. I read as far as it was an African mystery, and I just wrote it's a goblin, and then faxed it back to you.
All right. Well, I'm gonna give you a little more background here.
Don't give it to me. Give it to the other guy because I already wrote goblin.
So you're 100% in.
I mean, until I hear otherwise, and I'm not listening because my fingers are now plugged to my ears, and I'm saying, take the call.
I'm 100% in until otherwise. I don't think Brian knows what 100% means.
Hey, man.
Well, never mind, you're talking to Spiro, right?
True. Like. My apologies. So I'm the superintendent here of this apartment complex. I'm like, I've heard very good things about you guys. Other than one Yelp review from some ship captain who was very upset.
Don't worry. It turns out he is a murderer, so you really shouldn't take what he says seriously. He murdered a bunch of people.
A lot of murders on Yelp, I noticed.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. They got to clean it up. Hashtag fake news.
Yeah. So I heard good things about you guys, even though you tried to land a helicopter on top of a canopy.
All right. For the record, we successfully landed the helicopter.
Yeah. Also, little known fact, you can land on water if the blades are going fast enough. A lot of people don't know that. Know this.
So my residents are very upset. They don't want to pay the rent. They're very, very mad at me. And I try to ask them what's going on, but they just run past me screaming.
But by the way, out of obligation for my part in the detective agency, I've shown up. I'm beside him, but I'm listening to a Freakonomics podcast like at full volume so you can kind of hear it, you know, like so I could tune you out. But unfortunately, you can hear a little bit about what I'm hearing, too.
Gotcha. So.
All right. Hey, so this one. Don't worry.
It's goblins, Fudge. It's goblins. I already told you.
Okay, it's not goblins. What do your tenants tell you is the problem?
Well, they're kind of screaming and they're in terror. And if I just tell you what they tell me the problem is, then we really don't have much where to go. We're kind of done.
Is there a sign of forced entry into these apartments?
No.
Do you have a problem with the plumbing?
Yes.
Oh, Sam, sing along with the theme song to Freakonomics right now.
I throw a Turkish barbell at Spiro, and he just falls over because we're not near water. All right, I've solved the case. Everybody, gather around.
I wake up, and I grab my nautical whistle, and I go, doo-woo! And I'm like, hey, everyone, he's about to say it's goblins.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been around the world solving cases, big and small, dangerous and safe. But I can say that we have never seen anything like what we've seen here. Opposite day, because this is snakes. You got snakes in your pipes, snakes coming out of your toilets, snakes coming out of your sinks.
At this point, I hush him and I say, the Fudge, I was just listening to a podcast. I'm not going to say which one, but they explained about the gambler's fallacy, this belief that sooner or later, you're more likely to be right because you've been wrong so often before. Are you sure you wouldn't like to do a little more investigating before we call this one snakes?
This is 150%. There's no way it's not the fact that snakes are filling up these toilet bowls and are biting people on the butt and genitals.
Well, we have some video.
Oh, God! I swear to God, if I see a snake. All right, pause. All right, for the audio listeners, somebody has the scariest speculum I've ever seen. And he's approaching a toilet.
Brain snake.
It's gonna be a. Wait! Stop! Stop! And now he's laid down.
He's got like a tennis ball holder.
It's like a tennis ball tube, but enough to fit like 20 tennis balls.
Yep. Keep going.
It's roughly snake shaped. God dog it. Okay. Oh my god. I may owe this man an apology. Stop!
Yes! Snakes!
I immediately...
Describe the snake to us right now.
It's...
Oh, this is a girthy one, my friends. This is a mean motor scooter. Dark green, being lifted up out of the toilet. There's fabric softener for some reason by the toilet. And this animal control person is about to stuff this snake right here in this snake container.
We're maybe a foot and a half of snake out of there and already looks about 5 or 6 pounds of snake.
I immediately start writing a letter to the folks at Freakonomics saying that they're severely underestimating the number of snake-related problems in the world.
All right, so this thing continues to come out.
By the way, can you imagine being this guy? So he's got it pinched. He's got it pinched. If we're comparing the snake body to a human body, has him pinched roughly around the rib cage, and as if twisting his head saying, oh, no, you didn't, the snake is kind of staring at him like, you are not doing what I think you're doing, are you? You are not pulling me and going to stuff me into this tube.
It's holding on to something. It might be still in the drain part, right? Like, let's keep playing it.
Keep going.
You're Sipo.
Yeah, dude.
Snake ain't moving.
No.
It is. It is. It just opened its mouth and stared at him.
Doing that, it just ain't coming out of the toilet.
Oh, he's fighting with. Oh God, it's so big.
Oh my God!
It's probably 2.5 feet, maybe 3 feet.
No! It's at least
right now
four. Yeah. The implied remainder of length in this stink.
It keeps going. It keeps.
It just bit the canister that it's supposed to be put inside of.
Oh!
It's.
How do you ever take a bath in that bathtub next to it again?
You have to get a new toilet.
Also, why is the Fear Factor logo on that tube?
He's trying to load the snake into the canister by like, hey, just go into the safe place. And the snake's like,
I have my home back.
It's convulsing back.
It's like a tug of war.
I mean,
but the rope bites you.
It's like trying to throw a snake down a hallway.
I'm immediately putting like mesh grills over all my toilet holes.
Okay, all right. Now, forgive me. I am not a scientist or a lawyer, but it seems like snakes would need air to breathe.
Well, that's when you get a little visitor as you're sitting there, you know, on your iPad.
Yep.
This snake is a very, very powerful snake. We're still watching the snake fight and not want to.
Okay, quick question: is the only reason this dude is not killing the crap out of that snake because a camera's on him? Because that snake would be dead as hell. I've got it by the grip. I'd be smashing its head on the walls.
Assuming they want to like protect it and put it back in.
Yeah, I mean, like it is animal protection. Unless they have to kill the snake, they won't.
No, you know what animal I'm concerned about protecting? Me and my children. That's the only animal.
Well, okay, so yeah, but he's the guy that you call if you're like, I have this snake problem. Like, his job is to preserve the snake.
Okay, he's got a dumb job. He shouldn't be a snake killer from now on.
So the video cut out. Do you know what happens next?
No.
Oh.
The snake, he couldn't pull it out, and the snake went back inside the pole before disappearing.
No, 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 no.
So anyway, our PayPal's on the back of the card. If you just want to go ahead and settle that up, we got an Uber helicopter that we need to start hailing, and that's going to take a while because our rating is pretty low.
The snake has not been seen since.
They've tried pouring like acid down the toilet system.
They've tried
multiple things. So I'm going to give everybody a little pro tip. This is why you need to be a Patreon supporter of this show so you can get these helpful tips. Next time you're looking at a new house or apartment, be sure to ask, do you have a snake in the toilet problem?
When's the last time a snake rose up from the toilet and bit somebody upon the butt and genitals?
Here's something from the article. One of the experts says, he added that the lack of food for the creature might result in restricted movement. He said, despite snakes having the ability to go for weeks on end without eating, at a certain point the cobra will need to eat.
It was a cobra?
Yeah, it's not a cobra. Venomous. Big one, Bri. Big, big venomous cobra, which means it has to eat big prey, has to take down large mammals.
Dude, that movie was already a better South African film than Chappie.
No prawns.
Want to jump into picks?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I'm going to need a moment to process everything.
I'll start with my pick. My brand new business, Andrew's Toilet Grills, which will snake-proof. you can't use large pieces of toilet paper, and it's better if you, you know,
don't have a lot of fiber. But behind the scenes, just so you know, Brian always knows he's in for an adventure when Bryce, he doesn't even look at me, right? He doesn't look my direction. I just see an arm creep forward around one of the monitors, click a button, turn off one of the monitors, and then go back. meaning he doesn't want me to know what he's loading. Oh my god! You know what? I got a silly one that I just
you got a silly one.
Yeah. Well, and specifically because it's an unfolding adventure that that I'm really enjoying. If you never played the original Frog Fractions, it's fantastic. It's a game within a game within a game that just keeps on going forever and ever and ever. It's free right now from a company called Twin Beard. And the mystery was they raised a few tens of thousands of dollars to make, with nothing but the vague promise of, we'll make a Frog Fractions 2. We're not going to tell you when or where it comes from or what it's going to be, but it'll start off looking like one game and become something very, very different. And recently, they tipped, or you know, it leaked that
people found it. Well, that was part of it. Was that you? If you back their Kickstarter, normally the idea is you back a Kickstarter for a video game, you get early access to it, you get it before anybody else. But to preserve the surprise nature of it, they said once it was discovered, even the earliest backers would get their stream keys once somebody had randomly discovered it. And that's exactly what happened.
And the game itself is a $20 gem on Steam called Glitter Mitten Grove that looks to be one of those city building nightmares where it's like, you know, build, attract fairies, collect sunlight, digest dewdrops.
I tell you what, I spent 2 hours in that city building part.
Oh, really?
I did.
Before you figured out?
Partially because I couldn't find where I was looking for, but it was kind of fun.
Slight spoiler territory. Pretty quick, I noticed that, wow, an awful lot of these special skills seem to be equipment for mining and for excavating earth. And so if you dig down far enough, you find yourself a little random ass door that takes you into an ever, ever deepening rabbit hole. It has been a total blast. And specifically, my pick is not even to play the game because some people don't like these kind of games. I would definitely recommend you check out me and Justin playing the game at twitch.tv/nightattack. It's been a lot of fun for us to, We figured out a way to take turns playing the game, setting up Go to My PC, so Justin was able to actually, you know, take the helm at times. It's been fantastic. Really, really enjoyed
it.
Anyway, it's been a lot of fun. I recommend the game, and I recommend you check out our playthrough, because in the middle of it, one of the writers for the freaking game just calls us.
The head writer for the ARG.
Yeah, the head writer for the ARG, who also did work on the game itself. But I'll tell you what, it was I've been blessed enough to do some really fun things as a journalist. One of the things I did not ever expect to do was try to conduct an interview while poorly playing speed chess, while somebody who's much better at chess longingly just like looks at my poor play and wishes that I would not only ask better questions but also be better at chess.
I was, we got there. It was great.
We got there. Turns out I'm a lot better asking questions than I am at playing speed chess. it was super, super fun. Go ahead and check that out, twitch.tv/nightattack. I'm going to pick Portlandia. I just picked up watching it again last night. It is just such a fun show, man. You know, for any kind of show where you're going to work one or two performers in it, there's really only a few that work super, super well. And it means that you need really, really dynamic either performers, or the writing has to be top notch. And Portlandia kind of has both. There was a sketch. We're watching the fourth season now that basically includes an elongated sketch that is a heavy metal parking lot at a Prairie Home Companion live show, which it would just tickled my funny bone so much. So go ahead and check it out. Portlandia.
Portlandia. Like, I'll back your play on it in that it's worth watching, but I do find it. It's so committed to some bits that are so weird. It's very hot and cold for me. Like, I either 100% love it, or I feel like the sketch, I'm like, I just don't get this one. But like the Eddie Vedder tattoo one, great. The Battlestar Galactica one, possibly the best thing I've ever seen on television ever.
I mean, like the sketch I was talking about, it's like one of the big jokes is Fred Armisen telling a bunch of other, like, you know, 50 to 80 year olds in the same way that a bunch of like deadheads would talk about old, you know, shows that, like, you know, we were in Milwaukee. Next thing you know, who comes out? Wait for it. Terry Gross. And it's like, but if you don't know, if you're not an NPR listener, like, you have no idea what any of this means. Like, what the idea of people who go to Prairie Home Companion shows, that Terry Gross does another NPR show. It does not stop to educate you. It's just there to be there.
It's just like, oh, I'm sorry, did you not get the joke? Here's a kettlebell. Why don't you dive overboard?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I would never say that it is a show for everybody, but if it is for you, you'll enjoy it.
I have a self-serving pick. Actually, I have just a quick aside. Got the first review in for Blackfall, the third Jessica Blackwood book. The third book review came in from Publishers Weekly. They called it enthralling.
I thought you were going to say it was from Bonnie. She enjoyed
Bonnie
it.
Writing as Publishers Weekly.
No gossip on audiobook on this one. Can I just pay Justin to read it?
I mean, or you could get the Audible book when it comes out the same day as the print book.
Oh, good. So that is confirmed,
damn!
Right?
We are talking to seeing maybe possibly if we might be able to include some of the Audible samples maybe at the end of this podcast.
Oh, hells yes. Okay, can I say for the record, and this is one of the weird parts of our friendship, is like, I want to be able to read every single thing that you write, Andrew, but I just me and print media, unless it's on a screen, it doesn't seem to work out. I was so excited when your stuff started showing up on Audible and have loved every single bit of it. I'm so thrilled because the Audible book came out later on the second one, right?
Yeah, they did late, and that's always frustrating because because there's a different department of Harper and they have to have their own track and all that, but right. It's trying to promote them. So now they're doing the same day, same release for both.
Oh, so excited. So excited. Okay. Let me know. And what is the release date? When do we know?
March something, I think late March. Got to check on Amazon. I forgot what that is. I should know this. Should have like maybe this on my calendar.
Anniversary. March. What's 21st, that? March 21st.
And listen, you read this whole Publisher's Weekly quote, right? Because I can read it here. The author, a professional magician, makes the impossible seem possible in this twisty, clever treat. That, my friends, is not a publication that just wants to promo stuff. Like, this is for a trusted resource for booksellers. That is an awesome, awesome, awesome review for now. I mean, geez, well, how far have we come, man? The third published Jessica Blackwood novel, man. We are in the woods on this. This is great. Yeah,
well, hold on. You did kind of stop midway. The quote goes on to say, while it is odd that two crime-fighting detectives who are kicked off the police force and love kettlebells and Uber helicopters don't seem to add much to the story. No.
Spoiler, snakes.
So the second part of my self-serving plug here is that while I write books, I just finished a book for a deadline for my new series coming out in September from Thomas and Mercer. I like to create magic tricks. It's like if I'm stressed out and I need to give myself time to think, but I don't want to get away from the task, but I don't want to jump into another book, I then go create a magic trick or something like that. And I have a couple things coming out, but coming out this week is a trick called Clueless. Like, what's Clueless? Imagine a magical mentalism board game that looks
That's great. It looks like Clue. So yep. You've got different rooms. You've got the kitchen. You've got the Vive room.
Exactly. The parlor.
Yeah.
In that. And it's a very easy to perform effect, but it's the revelation is you have three players play. They each steal an object. They go into a room, steal an object, and hide somewhere. And the little cards in the middle of it, like the little game cards, they reveal like Mr. Red is in the library, Mr. Yellow is in the study, you know, Mr. Blue is hiding under the desk, Mr. Blue stole the diamond ring. So
wait, so you actually have them physically go to different rooms to set this up?
They move their pieces around the board.
Okay. Like, I mean, I assume you could do it either way, but that sounds awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's fun, very fun. So that'll be coming out. It's only gonna be like $20 or so. So that'll come out like Tuesday. So you know, comes with game pieces in the board, everything you need to do. And I'm working on a DVD. I'll put a DVD in there too to show you how to do it. So plug.
That's
you go
awesome.
To AngelMaine.com. What's that?
Yeah, I was going to say, what is probably the best way to get the magic? Is it all the same mailing list or two mailing lists?
Yeah, all the same mailing list. If you go to AndrewMaine.com, sign up for my email list, you can, you know, get updates on all that.
Oh,
my
smirking
face. That's a great photo there on your...
Right. No, it's the best photo I'll ever take.
Oh, man. Just adorbs.
I know. Good times.
Yeah, get that engraved on your head.
Clearly, one of those photos, like, well, you don't look like your photo.
No. I mean, but you do, though. I mean,
yeah.
Do that face. You look like you're ageless and timeless. There you go. Right?
And okay. Skin bronzer. They put skin bronzer on me there.
Yeah. That's why I was saying, like, why not have a bronze bust over your grave that is just you doing that? Because it's like you got a dark secret. You're like, I know what's on the other side. You don't. Yeah. In your face.
Oblivion. It's been weird.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.